Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. And when I need some straight answers, I got to go to the man who's got the straight money analysis at straightmoneyanalysis.com, my buddy, Joe Meyer. What's up, Mr. Meyer?
Good afternoon, Todd. Thank you and the Bubba Show for having me as a guest. Always a pleasure to visit with you and your listening audience. Thank you, Todd.
You know what? We love having you on, Joe, because you're an old man. You've been around for 1,000 years, almost as long as me. I'm only look older than you because I've been through the wars and the actual fighting with the animals on the floor. But you know, you got to understand it. And of course, you and I talked a couple of weeks ago, and we basically scripted out almost exactly what's going to happen in the overall market. And not that we're predicting and not that we're toting our horn. What we're saying is that, you know, these are things that professional traders and people who understand how market dynamics work are things that you look for in a market. So what was there anything that caught you by surprise, Joe, over the last couple of weeks? Or was it pretty much as you thought? Because I know when you write your newsletter, these are things you write, and you were prepared for this whole action that was going on here. So what did you think of the last couple of weeks?
Well, I was very surprised as to the momentum once it started to build, how quickly this market deteriorated. I was somewhat surprised as to how many bears really piled on the decline, and when I started to see sentiment shift and shift very dramatically, I had to question, honestly, if we had very much further to go to the downside before we would begin and certainly commence a meaningful counter-trend rally, which I've got to characterize right now is still underway, and I believe the counter-trend rally has further to go. It could last several weeks, and I go on that assumption, quite frankly, because no one's expecting that to happen right now, Todd.
You mean the rally that we're having, or the downward momentum we're having?
Rally that we're having off the recent lows. I think it has further to go. I think we probably piled on too many bears right at the bottom.
Well, I mean, isn't that always the case, Joe? I mean, you've been doing this for 40 some years. I mean, is that not? It's amazing. They talk about things in markets today like they never happened before, and they've been happening since the caveman era when they were trading rocks or land back in those days. I mean, human emotion never changes, does it?
No, it doesn't, and we see the same pattern basically in every cycle in every market. It's the same people always on the wrong side of the trade when they should be looking to do the complete opposite.
Now, in your opinion, why is that? Why are the poor retail traders, because that's who you're referring to, always on the wrong side of the trade?
Well, I believe they don't have the discipline, they don't have the experience, they don't have the ability to certainly see what's going on and certainly act accordingly. You know, people want to follow the crowd and they want to follow the momentum and they want to go in the direction of the trade and they hope that it'll continue. But, you know, I'm going to go on the record even additionally. I think crude oil may have already seen the lows. Again, no one's expecting that. Even though I do believe there's an outside possibility we retest those recent lows. But honestly, everybody looking for the collapse in energy prices, I just don't see it in the cards, Todd. I really don't.
Reports of my demise are greatly exaggerated. You know, I mean, one of the things that bothers me, Joe, is you know, TV is entertainment. And, you know, you get a bunch of money manager come on, and they're really just talking their book. They're not talking about what they really think in the markets. They're talking about the book that's going to make them money. You know, very similar to banks and things like that. And I kind of find that a little bit offensive because I think that misleads the public. What are your thoughts, sir?
Well, I think it not only misleads the public, it makes them do very foolish things. You know, again, you look at the big picture, you look at what's going on, you look at what's happened in the past, and as I've said many times in the shows that I've done, How can you understand the future when you have no understanding of the past as to where we've been and, more importantly, where we're going?
I mean, you know, nothing bothers me more than this, Joe. You know, I've been, listen, I'm not going to say I've been right because I've been bearish for a while. I mean, but I went from a position of I don't want to put new money to work here in the market to now I want to sell the rallies. So, but again, I don't want to ever put the words on that I was bullish or bearish, you know, because that's really, really, it's we're trying to trade direction and trade the footprint that the market leaves and then use the fundamentals based on the footprint. But I tell you what I love is when you get these guys on and they'll be raving, lunatic, bullish, bullish, bullish. And they go, okay, well, what are you going to buy? I'm going to buy General Electric. Well, you and I both know one thing. If you're buying GE, you're not bullish. Would you agree with that?
Well, you know, I come back to the old adage, and, you know, I've been in this market almost 50 years. You buy the market first, stocks second. You know, markets are the direction that takes stocks with it, and people lose sight of that. You've got to go with what is working, what's worked in the past, and what will continue to work in the future. Again, I come back to people too short-term oriented in the market, not staying with the major trends, not managing the risk that the market represents, and always being on the wrong side of the trade at the very worst time to be there.
And that's, I mean, that's always an issue because one of the biggest things that people have to understand is, A, if you're investing, think of the word investing. Doesn't mean you're day trading. You should not be checking your portfolio every 20 minutes on your iPhone, right? I mean, that's first thing.
Absolutely not.
Okay. And when you're investing, now again, you and I are a little bit different on this thing because my background's a little bit different. I'm an options guy, so I'm always looking for the edge. And I've developed a strategy that can actually garner the edge in my long-term portfolio. So I say, Zai goes in, let the market collapse because I'm going to collect on my hedge and be able to buy more stock at lower prices. So I'm the guy who's sniffing around at the bottom because I got cash based on what I was able to hedge my portfolio off at. But the average guy who's not doing that, if you're forced to liquidate at the bottom of the market, means you're too far leveraged in the market. Isn't that true?
I couldn't have said it better, Todd. That's exactly what it means.
Okay, so you have to understand as an investor what you're exactly investing in. Now, look, if you're just a plain basic vanilla investor, then invest your money and don't put more in that you're going to need, because investments are supposed to be money that you're not supposed to have to grab onto, because what if you put it into an illiquid investment that wasn't a stock market and you couldn't get it back? You have to be in investments that you can live with for an extended period of time. What do you say to that, young man?
Well, I think, again, you couldn't have said it any better. You know, people refuse to understand and accept when they're wrong in the market. And as soon as you recognize you're on the wrong side of the market and you cut your losses, the better. Again, people sell winners too soon. They give up a position too soon that's working out. Again, you have to have the discipline to stay with what's working until it's no longer working, and then you start to sell into any additional rally you get, take money off the table, and start to look towards another trade and prepare to do it again. That's the way I've always approached the market.
Well, and that's why you're still around after 100 years in the market. You know, I mean, you know, you go back to your anniversaries with the Federal Reserve. And we're going to talk a little bit about the Fed when we come back for the break, but we're with my man, Joe Meyer. You can tell how smart he is about the markets and how him and I have slightly different views of the same picture, but somehow, miraculously, we always end up with a similar result based on our opinions. And you can get Joe Meyer, straightmoneyanalysis.com. I'm just telling you that if you want an accurate depiction of what he believes is going to happen on the market and evidence and proof that he's right, you got to check out his newsletter, because I'm just telling you that it's really great stuff, and you get to hear him here on the show all the time. You can't argue with his theory because he's always on the money, and he doesn't say he's always right, but he does give you the proper backing. So that's Joe Meyer from straightmoneyanalysis.com. This is the Bubba Show. Make sure you go to bubbatrading.com and check out what we've got. We've got a couple of new products, and we're offering, of course, the hedging program. But for now, we're going to step out here for a break. If you miss the show, libertytalk.fm, on demand every day. We'll be right back with more from Joe Meyer, straightmoneyanalysis.com, here on The Bubba Show. We'll be back after the break.
Right, turn off the lights. We're going to lose our minds tonight.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with my friend, straight talker, straightmoneyanalysis.com's Joe Meyer, 9,000 years in the industry. No, actually, he's been around for a long time, but 50 years now, Joe? 40 years?
Well, it'll be 50 years as an investor, 45 as a professional.
Okay, so 45 years. He's seen a couple of markets go back and forth and live through some eras that nobody should have to live through. But, of course, if you're recent, then you've lived through some pretty nasty things as well. So, Joe, I think the first thing I want to talk about is the Federal Reserve. We know today they're going to come out with their decision. And, you know, I'm from the school that I think they did not do a very good job at managing this whole problem. I think they raised in December to say, I told you so. I told you I could do it if I wanted to. I think that raising into a slowdown was a very bad decision. Of course, I don't like where we are. Anyways, I think I'd rather see higher interest rates in an economy that can work its way out of it than what we have now. What are your thoughts as a 45-year veteran?
Well, I think the Fed was wrong in raising rates in the month of December. Again, as a historian on the market, going back and looking at the increases by the Fed we've had over the years, we only had interest rates raised once before in the month of December by the Fed, and we'd have to go all the way back to 1937 for that period of time, and we all know what happened after that. The economy went into a pretty severe recession, and we didn't start to come out of it till the start of World War II in 1941. So having said that, I don't think the Fed was justified in raising rates. I'm going to go on the record again and say that I think the Fed will backtrack on any further interest rate hikes, and I think we'll see a QE4 stimulus. It'll happen sooner than expected. You got the ECB already talking about a stimulus as the European economy is now facing recession. Couple that with, I believe, the Christmas holiday season sales were very poor. Worst holiday on balance for the retail is certainly in a long, long time. Fed rate cut will happen. The question is when. When will the Fed move? I think it's sooner than later, Todd.
Well, now, listen, they won't be surprised if they've been listening to the Bubba Show, because I called for QE4 before the rate cut, so, or the rate rise. So, I'm really from the school, Joe. I mean, they may be extremely smart people, and certainly they're educated, but from a common sense standpoint,
they're looking in the rearview window. They're not looking out the windshield of the car as it goes down the road.
So let me ask you, you like to put it eloquently. I just like to call them jackasses. But anyways, let me ask you this. So I say asset bubble. I don't know what you say exactly. We've talked about it. But economists never recognize a bubble until history, when they look back years ago. Oh, that was a bubble. But I say a bubble now. What do you say?
Well, I say you raise rates into the bubble inflating. You don't raise rates into the bubble now losing air. And that's exactly what they've done. If they were going to raise rates, and you and I have talked about this before, they should have raised them 12 to 18 months ago, Todd.
Well, I mean, May of 2013 was the first time they should have raised them, when Ben Bernanke balked and he couldn't take the pressure of Wall Street and he backed down. But again, I that's the other thing I don't like, is I don't like the lack of non-decision. I think that the act of doing nothing or hiding or trying to snowball everybody is worse than actually acting. And I do believe, Joe, in my opinion, and I'd like to get your views on this, if the Fed, again, I still don't like the first bailout, but I'll live with it, okay? I mean, I'm not an economist, so I can't really understand all the real dark down that economics of what they did. But after the first one, that should have been it. Goodbye and good luck. If you can't survive, then you're out. And I think we would have been in one hell of a lot better shape today if they'd have done that in the first place, instead of still trying to figure out our way out of this mess, because you and I both know one thing for sure. This mess is a long way from over, and there's going to be a lot of stuff coming down before it's all over.
Well, again, if you go back and you look at the leverage that was employed when the Fed stepped in and bailed them out the first time, and you look at the leverage that we now have in this market several years later, you know, markets do, and I think we've talked about this again in the shows we've done over the last several months, markets do one thing, and they do it very efficiently. They reprice asset classes. And when the Fed allowed this bubble to get out of control, we started to see asset classes repriced, and it's continuing as we speak. I don't believe we're going to get the big move to the downside from this approximate area in the averages that most people are expecting. I'm looking for the rally to carry somewhat further, although I do believe we've had a major change in trend from up to down. The question is, how far do we rally back to the upside before we resume the downtrend? Want to run by for your listeners a couple of areas that I'm looking at in the Dow, the S&P 500, and in the NASDAQ. I got support in the Dow, 15,500, then 15,000 resistance, 16,250, 16,500, and 17,000. In the S&P 500 index, I've got support 1820, 1800, 1750, and I've got resistance in the S&P 500, 1900, 1950, 2000. And then finally in the NASDAQ, I've got support 4300, 4200, 4000. Resistance levels in the NASDAQ, 4,600, 4,700, 4,900. These are some guides as to what your listening audience can certainly key to as to the support and resistance areas in these markets as we move forward, Todd.
Now, on your scale of looking at a much longer scale, how often will you update those numbers?
We update them about every 10 trading days.
Okay. So you're looking at it, so because, you know, like, I, obviously me personally, when I'm trading, I'll update my stuff on a daily basis, but I'm, you know, a lot of times, I mean, I'm trading on a much shorter time chart, and my trend on a 5-minute chart, for example, would not be the same, or not necessarily the same as your trend on a daily chart. So you have to always understand the time frame when you're trading as well, which is very important to traders, is it not?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So we have to be, you know, always focused on the ball. Now, Joe, I got one other question. This has always bothered me. The banks are the ones that put us in the hole in the first place with their lending to everybody. And I don't know if you saw the Big Short. Some of it was very accurate and very good, and some of it wasn't as accurate. But, of course, our good friend, the author, that doesn't always tend to report everything so quite so accurately. But at the end of the day, that is, the banks did cause the problem. And why is it that we, there's poor schmucks in the middle class, always end up bailing out the banks?
Because that's the system, and that's how it works. I don't agree with it, but until we can change it, it's the system we have to live with.
All right, well, why can't we change it? To tell me, listen, you've been around. Why can't we change it?
We can't change it because the owners of the country don't want it to change.
Okay. And what can we do to get that? I mean, again, I believe that at some point, there's going to be another revolution in this country, because I believe they're making too many poor people. And I believe that there will be a revolt. You know, you cannot continue to put people to work for less than they've made before, and certainly not be able to afford to support their families. And eventually they're going to revolt, because you can't continue to ignore all the problems. You have any thought to that?
Well, I think when you speak to the wealth effect, I've been on the record, as you know, in various issues of my newsletter, basically stating we've seen the greatest transfer of wealth in history from the March 2009 lows in the Dow, in the S&P, right around 670, and certainly what we witnessed in the Dow prior to us moving forward. But I think when you look at what these markets have done over the last several years, and you look at who has certainly benefited and who has suffered, no question the 1% was certainly the winners, and the average American the great loser in what happened. Had the Dow start 6470 and roughly about 11,000 point advance over the last several years, but the average American did not participate in it, Todd.
No, and that's always the case, because the average American was too overinvested to begin with, because they were either greed on their own part, or misled or led astray by others. And of course, once again, they puked out at the bottom, forming the bottom of the market, which is how bottoms and tops are formed, or by fear and greed. But we're going to come back, because I got more from my man, Joe Meyer, StraightMoneyAnalysis.com. Can you hear him? Can you hear his sincerity? Can you hear the way he understands the concept of a market? He's perfect for the Bubba Show because that's what we talk about all the time, is how to understand a market. This is the Bubba Show. We're with Joe Meyer, straightmoneyanalysis.com. We're going to stop by here for a break, and we will be right back after the break with some more straight money analysis from our friend, the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Rhodes.
I come from. How about you?
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you, give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Bubba.org. Check it out. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with our good friend from straightmoneyanalysis.com and legendary investor, Joe Meyer, straightmoneyanalysis.com. Only been in the professional side of investing for 45 years, just probably more than most have been alive. So, Joe, I'll tell you, I look at oil, I look at the commodity space in general, and I hear expert after expert come out and say, well, yeah, of course they're correlated. Oil goes down, the market goes down. And I go, BS. I said, right now, maybe for a week or two, they're going to be correlated. But at the end of the day, it's the commodity space that has some drawdown on the Dow, because obviously it takes away jobs when we're in a deflationary scenario. But it's not specifically oil. It's the entire commodity space. Am I right or wrong?
Absolutely. The markets have a mind of their own, and we're seeing the markets now act independently of a lot of things that people want to believe are connected.
So when you hear things like that, and it, what I think it really bothers me is, you know, sensationalism. And, you know, of course, oil was under pressure. And, of course, you know, oil expires every week, and it went to spot. And, of course, everybody was reporting, oh, oil's at $26. It's going lower. But really, it was really trading at $28. They were talking about spot, which is delivery. And that has nothing to do with the actual price that we're looking at, because the price that we're trading is the future. And I always find it amazing how we want to be everything so sensationalism all the time, when really the numbers are the numbers. Why do we have to try to mislead or misguide in numbers?
Take a look at the people that are on these shows. They don't have any credibility. They don't have the experience. What other markets have they ever been part of? Quite honestly, I never heard of half of these people. If you want to believe what they say and you want to follow what they say and you want to do the things that they're telling you they think you should do, good luck. You know, these people don't deal in facts. They don't deal in reality, and they so certainly don't deal in history. You've got people on these shows talking about these markets. They haven't even been around 20 years. And I've often said, if you haven't been around at least 20 years, what can you really know? Apparently very little.
Right. And that is, again, you know, you talk a lot about history. And, you know, history repeats itself over and over again. It repeats from different levels in any market. But history always repeats itself over and over again. And I think that
it repeats itself over and over. And I've had people ask me that very question and say to me, why does it occur? And the answer is staring you right in the face, because human nature will never, ever change. That's the answer.
That's right. You want to know the answer? Look in the mirror, because that's the answer. It's humans, because things are driven by emotion. Even the computer trading is driven by emotion, because what are they keying off? They're keying off one single word
I get the biggest kick out of these analysts. They talk about the market as though the market knows them personally. The market doesn't know you. The market couldn't care less what you think. The market has a mind of its own. It's going to do what it does, and when it does it best, when most people are on the wrong side of the trade and very foolishly following some thesis that's not even relevant. That's what the market does. It makes the majority wrong, and it makes them wrong consistently, and no one learns from that.
And that is what we're talking about here. And so, you know, when you take and you talk, Joe, you talk about the prevailing trend, the long-term trend, how to stay in the market. Now, you know, you take us through, you're more of an investor and I'm more of a trader. So that's our, we come to the same conclusion under the time frames in which we both trade. So take us through the life of a guy like you, who's more from an investing standpoint, that's looking at the longest time frames and really judging out your views. So, you know, so you can help educate the average guy, help him out a little bit, because this is the problem that people don't understand. And I think one of the worst things was technology, because now, you know, people are checking their iPhones. It was like Jerry Seinfeld. You ever watch Seinfeld when he was checking that stock tip? He was reading every paper like it was going to change. And that's kind of what happens in the overall investing world, doesn't it?
The first thing you want to do is you want to identify a market. Then secondly, you want to identify a trend. And thirdly, you want to identify a sector. And then lastly, and more importantly, you want to identify stocks within the group of the sector that are undervalued, underowned, and misunderstood. And you want to start accumulating into weakness. And if you get further weakness, adding to the position and holding that position until such time as the market fully values it. That's how you approach the market. It only took me 50 years to learn all this.
Well, I mean, you know, we don't learn. We learn by making a mistake. We learn by, but if I said to you, Joe, the number one thing for any investor, for any trader to learn is the ability to have the discipline and the money management to cut their losses when things are wrong.
Those two things are very important, and I'll add even a third one. You never trade the market from the standpoint of emotion. You take emotion out of the equation. You think out the trade. You know what your downside is. You know what your upside potential is if the trade works out. You know what you're going to do before the market makes its move. You thought out the trade before you place it and execute it. And if the market does what it's going to do, and hopefully you're right as to what it does do, you're prepared to take whatever action is necessary. That's how you approach the market.
And again, I think that is important that you're talking about that, Joe, because, you know, when we look at the overall picture and we learn to understand how markets work, because markets haven't changed. Markets are not a living being. They're a function of what happens between people. I mean, when you go to a flea market, the same as a stock market, they're discovering price. So why is it that our Federal Reserve, our economists, think that they're smarter than the market and they're smarter just trying to help us discover price, when markets themselves are very capable of discovering either what the right interest rate is or what the right stock price is all by themselves? They don't need the help of the Fed. So why is it that they believe themselves to be so important there?
Well, because they think they're smarter than the market. They think they can alter the major trends and the outcome of those trends. And they want to believe that they have more importance than they actually do in these markets.
I mean, do you believe that they can alter the eventual ending of a market, whether positive or negative?
I think markets at the end of the day have always been, all through history, certainly greater than any manipulation that's been attempted. You know, markets have been attempted to be manipulated over many, many, many decades, over many, many different market cycles. And at the end of the day, it has always failed. So what makes them think they'll be successful this time? They may draw out the eventual outcome and bottom as to where prices are headed, but inevitably they're not going to stop them from going there, for sure.
And isn't that always the worst part of it, when they believe that they can change an outcome? You know, it's funny, Joe, I heard, you know, I obviously listen to news programs while I'm working, while I'm trading, and just because I'm on and I like to know what other people are saying. And I heard a guy say the other day, and I know you're going to get a kick out of this, but he goes, Apple was trading, you know, like about 102 or 103, whatever it was. And he goes, well, Apple should be higher. The market is wrong. I go, really? Are you going to actually go on national TV and tell the market that it's wrong? Is the market ever wrong, Joe?
Well, the market is never wrong, but people want to believe that it is, depending on what side of the trade you're on.
I mean,
but inevitably, markets speak, they speak clearly, they speak volumes, and they're telling you basically what an asset is worth at any given time in the market.
I mean, right? I mean, that is the beauty of price discovery. I mean, the markets know what an asset class is worth. You can try to manipulate it all you want, but at the end of the day, it's worth what a seller will sell it for and what a buyer will pay for it. And when they meet, they will exchange wealth, and that's what they call price discovery. Is there any other way to do things, Joe?
Well, you buy into a bottom and you sell into a top. You know, easier said than done. You never average down, you average up. I don't know how many investors over the years I had to teach that simple theory to, where people say, well, I'm averaging in on the way down. You don't average in on the way down. You average out on the way up. And you sell into strength, and you sell into a rally, and you reduce your risk in the position, and you raise cash, and you prepare to do it over. That's the mindset you need if you're going to be in these markets.
Well, I mean, that's the mindset you need to be in any investment class, because there is...
Absolutely.
At the end of the day, you get your statement, your market is your numbers are marked to the market. So if it's worth $100,000 a day and it's worth $90,000 tomorrow, the market's going to be wrong, but you still lost $10,000. And if you want out, you're getting out for $10,000 less than you had the day before. So why is that concept so hard for people to understand? And I'm not talking about just regular retailers. I'm talking about everybody. The markets are never wrong. They have no mind. They move, they trade, and they are controlled on the emotion of the people that are trading them. And when people get too excited, they push them up. And when they get too depressed, they push them down, which is the one thing that I want to talk to you about when we come back from the break, Joe, is I wrote out when we've had this big selling over this year, I kept writing out notes in the morning saying, relax, stay calm, do not force out and do not use stops on this tragic down move. If you want to get out, wait, give the market a time to catch its breath. Do not panic. I am with my friend, Joe Meyer, straightmoneyanalysis.com. He's going to tell us more about his letter when we come back from the break, too, because, again, I think it's a valuable tool for any investor and trader who wants to have the feel of a market from an unemotional, well, he gets a little emotional with me once in a while, but an unemotional source that is basically just interpreting the information. That's straightmoneyanalysis.com. That's our friend Joe Meyer. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. I want to make sure you check out BubbaTrading.com. We've got the hedging program. It is unbelievable. We've got waiting lists now to get in because we have saved people lots of dough and actually showed them how to compound and create an endowment model out of their own portfolio. This is the Bubba Show. We're with Joe Meyer, straightmoneyanalysis.com. We're going to stop at it for a break, but make sure you miss the show. LibertyTalk.fm on demand. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz will be right back after the break.
A man walks down the street, he says, why am I so...
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz with my friend Joe Meyer. Joe, a couple of things, and then I want you to tell us about straightmoneyanalysis.com as well. But we talked about price discovery, and we talked about all these different things, and of course, spoofing. Now, spoofing is part of the art of trading, is it not?
Yes, it is.
Okay, if I'm willing to step up and bid something that I really want to sell, but if you sell me, I have to buy it. That's spoofing, but it's still, if I'm willing to step up and buy it, what difference does it make? Why do people care so much, and why is it such a news story? Because spoofing has been going on, again, I'll go back to the Stone Age. I mean, I wasn't there, well, maybe I was, but I can tell you that it goes on in every walk of business transaction, whether you're selling a product to somebody, or you're trading, or you're investing, you're at a flea market, everybody spoofs because that's part of the art of making a market or doing a business transaction. Any comment to that?
Well, people want to believe that an asset class in some instances is always worth more than certainly the market says it is. That's the answer.
Okay, because again, I get extremely disturbed, and certainly before you tell us about straight money analysis, I want to just talk to you a little bit about the IBEX, the new exchange that they're trying to start, and you know, the Michael Lewis Speedy Boys book. First of all, I will go on record saying it's a crock of shit. Okay, excuse me. I know I'm not supposed to say that, but I can't help it. It really makes me angry because at the end of the day, retail traders have never had it better from a standpoint of costs, bid offer spreads, and the ability to get filled in a market than they had ever in the entire history of Wall Street. Have they ever had a better shot than they do today based on trading in decimals, most markets that are liquid, a penny or two pennies wide. So if a high frequency guy wants to steal a penny, Zygesund, let him take it because the market used to be $12.50 wide. So if he wants to steal a dollar, my pleasure. Your comments, please.
Stick with the markets, you know, and if you're comfortable in the markets you've been trading in and you're doing well, stay with them.
You know, that's what I say is that do it. So, Joe, tell us about, I know you're getting the big report coming out. Tell us about what's coming up and what you're seeing and how we can get a hold of Straight Money Analysis at straightmoneyanalysis.com.
I'm working as we speak on the March 2016 issue of Straight Money Analysis. Going to be a very informative, enlightening issue, as they all are, and going to be talking about where we've been now over the last couple of months and, more importantly, where I think we're headed certainly for the balance of the year. Going to outline what I think is important, what you need to know, and what you can certainly prepare for that I think is coming down the pike. I do think these markets are making history. I do think we're at a turning point. I think there's going to be a lot of twists and turns in the road before we finally reach the destination that I think is ahead of us. But as you know, I write extensively about the big picture in the U.S. and global economies. I write about the U.S. stock and bond markets. We write again very extensively about the precious metals, both gold and silver. Also write extensively about the energy sector, crude oil and natural gas, and we always have a pretty lengthy commentary in every issue of the newsletter on Fed monetary policy, where we are, where we're going, and what I think is certainly ahead of us that we can certainly start to prepare for. Straight Money Analysis is not for everyone. It's for people that are very serious about what they're doing in the market. And we try to educate investors in every issue of the newsletter as to the things we've learned almost over a 50-year career in the market. That's what Straight Money is all about, Todd.
And again, I think that that's a great letter and a great you just have such wonderful insight in the overall markets, Joe, and understanding how it works. And you are, as I am, a big advocate of history because history does repeat itself. As much as we all want to say that it doesn't repeat itself, it always does. It's not, there's nothing new under the sun. Nothing really changes. The only thing that changes is what the value is. But at the end of the day, dating hasn't changed. Relationships haven't changed. It's always going to be similar, the same, and we're always driven by those emotional moments. And I think that that's important, Joe, that people understand that. And that's where that's the guys you write under, is a non-emotional. This is what I see. These are basically how I got to these conclusions. And that's how you invest as well. Is that correct?
Well, I think we look at the markets from the standpoint what it can do, should do, and will do. And are we prepared for any of those eventualities? And I think if we do our homework from a fundamental and technical standpoint and we're on the right side of a trend until proven otherwise, I think we eliminate a lot of risk that the market represents for people that want to trade in and out of it. But again, you've got to approach these markets with a game plan. You've got to approach them with discipline. You've got to approach them without emotion. And you have to understand before you put on a trade, what is my risk? What is my reward? What do I do if things go right? Where do I start selling into strength, reducing my risk? And where do I start paring down a position if it goes against me and we're wrong? These are the things that you have to be able to do if you're going to be successful in the market.
All right, Joe. So we've got a whole bunch of stuff going on. A year from now, or at the end of this year, where do you see the Dow Jones Industrial Average?
Well, I think the market a year from now will undoubtedly be lower. The question is how much lower. But as I said earlier in our show today, I'm looking for this market to move, I think, substantially higher from where we currently are. Again, I think this rally is slow in getting going, but I think it's going to pick up momentum. if I'm right, that we've seen the lows in oil and we don't get any bad news coming out of the Middle East and we start to get some halfway decent first quarter earnings, I think this market could surprise with its resilience as it rallies back to the upside before it tires and is exhausted and resumes its downtrend. So I think we've got a lot of shorts in here that shortly are going to get burned as this market attempts to move higher, Todd. That's what I see.
And I agree with that as well. So Joe, let me ask you a question. Is there, in your mind, a potential for another meltdown as such as 2008 or 2001 or 1987?
Well, I don't think we can rule out that this market certainly has got some downside to it. If we get the right catalyst and the right news, this market can fall and fall very sharply. You know, people have asked me where I think this market can go, and, you know, a full 20% correction off the highs, and I think you and I talked about this in a previous show, would take the Dow to 14,681, full 20% correction in the S&P around 1708, full 20% correction in NASDAQ around 4132. But if those levels don't contain the bear market that I think is either unfolded or will unfold shortly, then I think we go down to two levels that I would look towards on an immediate basis if we violate those areas I just mentioned. I think we could go down to the 2007 peak, 14,100, and I think if that gave way, we would work our way down to the 2000 top around 11,780. But I think, again, when you look at the average bear market that we've had going back the last eight previous bear markets, we've had an average bear market loss of 43.9% over a period of about 21 months. And if we take a 43.9% correction off the high 18,353, we got the potential to take this market down to 10,278. So I think there's a lot of downside. I think there's limited upside. But I think, again, we've got to let the markets do what they do best and continue to reprice asset classes and hopefully be on the right side of these markets when these big moves get underway.
I'm going to speak for you at the same time here. Joe and I are from the same school here, that we're not predicting 10,200 or 14,000 or any number. We are telling you, you look at the markets one level at a time, and if you are wrong, you'll have opportunities. It's your job to take the opportunity to get out when you're wrong and reduce the risk. You agree with that, my friend?
Well, the markets never go in a straight line. I think you and I have been around long enough that we understand that. So I think the market's going to give you ample warning. It's going to tell you, as we've said in previous show, what it's going to do before it does it. And it comes down to your ability to recognize the signals that the market is throwing off and position yourself and act accordingly.
That's our friend, ladies and gentlemen, Joe Meyer, StraightManAnalyst.com. I always appreciate having you on because it's always refreshing to have someone spit it out like it is. Thanks, Joe.
Thank you so much for having me. Pleasure to visit with you and your listening audience. Thank you, Todd.
That's our friend, Joe Meyer from StraightManAnalyst.com. Check out his website. Check him out. 45 years in the business. This has been the Bubba Show. We had certainly had a nice day spending it with Joe because, again, I just want you to understand that we talk straight, hence is the name of his letter, Straight Money. We're always talking straight here on the Bubba Show. We don't try to BS. We don't want to create fear or panic. We want you to understand what's next and what's possibly next and help you exit when you need to and help you get in when you need to. This has been the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. If you miss a show, libertytalk.fm. Every day on demand. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks. I got a feeling.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.